Today on When Calls the Heart, we talk about support, surprises, and spectacles. Stay tuned, hearties.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yes! Hello, hearties. Boom, boom. Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV.
Oh, I call that.
We are here doing When Calls the Heart after show. Here it is. I mean, seriously, that gets better every week.
I know. It's a great song. I love that song.
I love it. Welcome back, hearties. It is season 5, episode 6, Love and Marriage episode. I'm your host, Marissa Serafini. Joining me, I have
James Law Jr., and I'm wearing, okay, Southeast Hardies. I'm wearing a shirt, Southeastern Hardies.
Hashtag party like a Hardy,
party
y'all.
Like a Hardy. I'm wearing it today.
Southeastern Hardies.
Yeah, Southeastern Hardies.
That's so cool. And for those who may not have noticed, I'm wearing glasses.
She's wearing glasses with me this time.
It's as a glass for Phillip's storyline.
But you do wear contacts normally.
Yes, yeah. I have very bad myopic vision. So
yeah.
When we get to Phillip's storyline,
we'll talk about it. We'll talk
we're
going
to get all into it. So these are actually real
glasses.
Yeah,
they're real glasses. Just wear them today.
They are not a prop. They are real.
And I wear mine all the time, as you know. So
yes, because we both have terrible vision.
I can't see anything.
Neither can I. I could hardly see this whiteboard if I didn't have my glasses on. But yeah, we're going to get all into it. We'll talk about Jack maybe losing his land. Philip needing glasses. Goodbye to Pastor Frank. No, I know. All the love couples and then the married couples and then, you know, news, devotions, and of course, our fun predictions at the end. But let's get into it. James, what are your quick thoughts of this episode?
At first, I thought it was going to be this like kind of light and airy episode, which it kind of was in some level. It was about love. It was very kind of, but it started out kind of funny and lightweight. Then it had a couple of serious moments, but overall, it was a nice episode to follow up the big episode we had last week. It was just kind of nice. What do you think?
Yeah, it was nice, but also what I loved about this episode, everyone was having some type of crisis in their life.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
And, I mean, it sounds terrible, but that is life. We all, and I feel like that's life and universal balance of everything. When you have, like, one good thing, such as a wedding, you usually have one bad thing that follows after and just keeps everybody in check. And it felt like everybody was struggling with something.
Yeah, they showed a lot of the town.
Yeah.
We're really meeting the townspeople.
We definitely are. Yeah. And not really meeting. We're just like checking in on everybody's life.
That's true too, I guess. But I just feel like we're really getting to know them. And also, even when they're not talking, like, Abigail was talking to, I saw the black guy, she was talking to him at one point in the background, and Jack was just walking over to him. Somebody else was talking to somebody else in the corner over here. I love it. It's like, we're seeing this fully formed town. I love it.
Yeah. And people in live chat, thank you, hearties, for joining us every
week.
We'll get to you too as
well. Yes, we will.
They like my glasses.
They do like your glasses.
Thank you. I picked them up myself. So let's get into it. Let's talk about Laura and Bill. This was a fun, I'd have to say this was like the lighter story out of everything. There were some good laughs in there. But what are your thoughts of Laura? She now has this new coat, finds this note, but then goes to Bill to help solve this mystery.
Bill is hilarious. I just love his character so much. Jack Wexler's so good. It was kind of fun to see her get a storyline that wasn't child-related, not really.
Yeah.
She was a conduit to love and a memory, which we'll talk about in a second.
She was.
And to have them work together, the way she was kind of busting him on how, because you're busy, you're feet on desk.
Your feet are on the desk. way to go calling him out.
I love that. Again, even the young women are strong in the show, and it was just kind of fun. And Mr. Sherlock Holmes, they had a great. I hope actually they do a little more with those two. Like maybe there'll be a through line where she comes in for things here and there, and they just kind of. She's a straight shooter. She calls him out on stuff, and he's such the anti-hero, but he couldn't help but help her.
Yeah, and she doesn't mean to be the straight shooter.
No.
And I think that's just the brilliance of Ignorant is Bliss with kids, that they will literally say anything out of mind and don't realize that it might be sensitive or, in a way, not to say rude, but just so straightforward.
That's how kids are.
And face value.
Yeah.
But it also keeps the adults in check, too.
Yes.
Like, yeah, you're right. Bill's not really doing anything right now.
Well, any of us who have kids or grandkids, we know that. The kids, out of the mouths of babes, they always say. It's just funny. They're very pure and unfiltered.
Yeah.
They say what they say basically what they see and feel.
Yeah.
And as adults, you kind of go, oh, okay, there's some truth in what they're saying, but...
There was truth.
But Bill...
But enough truth to get Bill be like... there was some reverse psychology I did love. But Bill and Laura, eventually, like, I love how they had to go around the town asking a lot of people just to get a simple answer.
Yes.
Seemingly.
Again, I saw some more townspeople. I like that.
But your thoughts of... It was Florence's note.
Okay, everybody. I cried.
Did you?
I seriously, I was when she read the note and started to tear up herself, and she was like, I almost forgot what it was like to
forgot what he saw in me.
Yeah, how he saw used me. To be. I was sobbing like a baby. It was unexpected. I just kind of hit me because maybe because I've lost people recently, you know, too. Maybe that was it. I just like hit me, and when she hugs Laura, she and her and Bill, they kind of hug. It was just like. I cried. I get teary-eyed again just thinking about it. It was, such a sweet moment. What a sweet story.
It was. And it was just a good story for Florence, too. Because she's always, not to say the grouch, per se.
Right.
But she's always so unhappy.
Yes.
Which is really unfortunate, and I don't want to pick her as like, oh, here she comes, you know? Right. And I'm like, let's avoid her. But to see a softer, more vulnerable side of her.
Yeah.
To know that once she was a happy person.
Well, I mean, we saw that with her, and we went to that storyline a little later, but Abigail, again, it was kind of like, we've been through a lot together. We'll get through this, too. It's like, we also forget that some of these women are widows.
Yeah.
When we first met them.
She lost her husband, too.
Yes, she lost her husband, too. So they went through a lot, so it is hard for her, I'm sure. And then to get this note, it was like getting a piece of him back. When she said, Lovey, I was like, oh, Lovey. And I said, nickname. Mm-hmm. And it was such a nice, I said I cried. I thought it was just something. People said they cried, too. I did. I didn't expect it.
Yeah, and what I like is that these widowers from, you know, in this town, every once in a while we get episodes that has old things that their husbands used to do that affects the women in the future. Like, we had Dottie, and her husband left her money.
Yeah.
We had Forgive Me, Pa, which was, you know, Noah Stanton for Abigail. And this is, like, a love letter to Florence. So, you know, these moments that happened in the past that are affecting these women in the future. And
right.
I was like, I just kind of want to see everybody's. Like, all the different
You're right. And I never thought until you just
and
said
what
that.
The husbands did for them before their death.
You're right. And it's given us a glimpse into their past a little bit because, you know, it's not all forgotten. I mean, it's part of, I mean, assumingly, we know these are fictional characters, but that character will be going through this daily, feeling the loss. And to get I just said this on my last show, just to get a piece of somebody you miss. That would just be the greatest gift. Just get a little piece of something that you didn't know was there.
Yeah, something beyond the grave. Posthumous. Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah, me too. It was a good...
It was great and refreshing to see a moment of Florence actually happy.
I agree.
For once, she's happy.
I agree. But again, it was a light storyline that got me crying at the end. So, when calls the heart, you're good.
You felt it.
When calls the heart, it's good.
Yeah, and you know what's another good thing?
Yes.
Conversations with Maria Menounos.
Yes, it is.
Our founder of AfterBuzz TV, Conversations with Maria. She has an amazing show.
Yes, she does.
It drops on iTunes every Friday. Definitely informative. Definitely learn about your life. Just life things like finances, health, fitness, everything. Every life-supporting topic she covers. Whether it comes from finances, like I need help with numbers.
Animals. She loves animals.
Pets.
Yes.
Just entertainment.
Yes.
I mean, she talks to so many different people from all
she
around
does.
The world.
Very diverse.
And is one of the most diverse shows that you can listen to that's just so fulfilling and enriching in your life. So go check that out. Support our founder.
That's our girl.
Maria Menounos.
Yes.
Her show, Conversations with
Maria.
Maria Menounos.
Yes.
Menounos.
She's Greek. So.
She is Greek.
Yes, she is.
On iTunes every Friday.
Yeah.
Boom.
And it's funny because she did a show from the Sirius studios in New York. I wish she was back there.
Yeah.
She went into the Sirius and she did a show from there. So, yeah, it's good. Check it out.
She's fantastic, you guys. Go support her. Let's get into Frank and Abigail. It's hard to talk about this for me because I love Frank so much.
I know.
Getting all worked up.
Yeah, I know.
But what were your thoughts of at the beginning of the episode, they're talking to each other, but Abigail wants to learn more about the kids and the children at the hospital.
I almost feel like, and I don't know if you guys felt the same way, Hardy's at home or Marissa, I almost felt like she knew the answer. Like, she knew that this was his calling.
Yeah.
She probably sensed it. And by asking those questions and talking to him, she wanted to get a sense of where he was at. And by asking questions and talking, you find that out. Like, communication, as we always say, communication is key. I think she knew. And so it was kind of bittersweet for us watching it because it was a beautiful scene and they're catching a fish and, you know, and Cody's there. But we all kind of know it's, I don't want to say doomed, but it's just like he's going to have to go.
I know. But also, like, and I was tweeting, live tweeting with everybody. But the moment he gave his answer about the kids and the whole story about Anthony, the child Anthony having pneumonia. And making a full recovery, but just the way Frank was saying it, knows that he fell in love with the people that he's working with and the people that he's helping.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh no.
He found his purpose.
He did. And I'm so happy.
Yeah, we're happy
for
him. Yeah.
But what's one person's gain is another person's loss. And it's our town loss. It's the Hardy's loss for this character.
Yes. And Mauricio, I'm going to say your name, my card just said it. And that is love, releasing the person you love to pursue their passion.
I know.
You have to let them go.
You have to let them go. But if they truly love you, they'll come back to
you. They say. And she did say, you know, she was just saying, you know, I wish I can ask you to come. She said, I wish I can ask you to stay. And I got a little teary-eyed then, too.
I was more choked up in this moment.
No, I did, too. I got teary-eyed.
I got
teary-eyed.
So, like, worked up at this moment.
Yeah, I did, too. I thought... True love is selfless. Yes, moral masterpiece. It is.
And I did love the moment when they're sitting and he's talking about what he's going to talk about for his sermon. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Which is complete reflection of what he's doing with his life right now. Yeah. He's putting these children before him. He's helping others before he's helping himself. And I'm so happy for him, but I'm really sad he's gone.
I know. And like I said last week, it was really interesting. I didn't realize how much I missed him until I saw him again.
I know.
I was like, yeah, he's a part of the town. He is a part of Hope Valley. And he's the religious part of Hope Valley. And he was part of the strength of Hope Valley. And you know, so he has to go, you know, take Philip, you know, usher him over there. What's what Philip's
on? We'll get into Philip.
Yeah, but it all made sense. I mean, it made sense. But it was sad.
Abigail had to make a lot of choices in this episode, but, you know, choices with, now that Frank is gone, and we've been talking about it every episode, the building the Gowan storyline, I did not like the fact of the timing of how literally Frank left into the carriage.
Yes.
And then 20 seconds later, Gowan was in the frame talking to her. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, hey, am I having better? It's like, don't be that person, Gowan. Don't be the knight in shining armor that sweeps in when she's vulnerable. Come on.
Oh, my God.
Your thoughts?
That is hilarious. I never thought about that. That's pretty funny.
Like that's literally what's going through my head while I'm watching.
You're kind of doing a production note there, too, in a sense. Like, why do you make the two scenes like that? Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Well, they're building, like, literally one person leaves and another person comes
in. It's almost heavy-handed of them trying to get us to know that this
They're forcing it. They're forcing it, and I don't like it. This is why I say it's forced.
I know. But
keep going. I'm actually really
upset. I know, just like it. See, I love that it's like a half production, half flying, whatever.
I know.
Remember, Florence came in and said her two cents right after he left the frame.
Your thoughts of Florence and her, like how she was, first of all, upset, rightfully so. I mean, we all have those same ideas. Yeah, he threw the whole town on the bus financially. Yeah. So, yeah, she'd be upset, too. Yeah. She's voicing the opinions of the audience.
She is.
But then her moment of vulnerability as well with Abigail, just, like, reassuring her. And actually apologizing after.
I like that. Again, I like that. We've been through a lot together. We'll get through this, too. This town is nervous. I completely understand that. It's completely... And she did come in a little aggressive, and I was like, excuse me.
But that's Florence.
But it's Florence. She's just very straightforward, just like
she's
emotional.
She's one of those people that has like the nervous energy.
Yes.
She always comes in with nervous energy that just automatically builds anxiety for everybody else and unnecessary stress. I think we can pick out those people in life.
Yes, and she's a great actress. I mean, first of all, great actress.
I mean, she's amazing.
Yeah, but that's what, so she's so good at it.
Loretta is great.
But I agree. She just has that nervous kind of energy. Like, it's like, okay, girl, okay.
Calm down.
But I like that they talked it out. I mean, it was like, come back here. She got all loud. Come back here, girl. Everybody's like looking. And they talked about it. It was civil, and she apologized. They hugged.
I like it.
Yeah.
I mean, and I do understand where Florence is coming from.
Yeah, me too.
But it came from just a moment of genuine concern.
Yeah, it did. It did.
I get that.
Good description, Marissa. Well, that's what a royal masterpiece says to you.
Ooh, yes. Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. But, we saw a lot of sides of Florence this episode.
You sure did. Yes, but so that's I good. Liked it. Me too. Again, I guess like you said earlier, we're getting to learn more about
her. She's a fun character.
Yeah, she's a fun character.
Whether you like her for who she is, but she does have sweet moments too. Mm-hmm. I mean, we saw her the last two episodes.
Oh yeah, she was
helping
great.
With the wedding dress. Yeah, she was great with the wedding, she's actually a good person. She wears her heart on her sleeve.
Christine Farnberg says, I love that people on this show talk respectfully about their problems. They do.
Yeah.
They do, for the most part, they do.
And, they talk through their problems, too. And who's having problems? Philip.
Oh, poor little Philip.
Poor Philip. He can't read the board. He's missing pop flies.
I understand that.
Baseball. Vision is blurry. Boy, I feel you.
Me too. I was by 11 months off camera.
We were talking beforehand.
We both were on 11.
James and I were both 11 when we got our glasses.
And
I've
was already
had glasses for years.
I was already a nerd and already
right?
at that point. I wasn't the popular, fabulous stuff I am today, but I was a little nerd at that point. And I thought glasses, all I need is glasses. And this was the 70s. No, early 80s. So I have big glasses.
Well, I won't tell you when I got mine then.
You can do
the math if you know how old I am.
Yeah, we're about 20 years different. So, but yeah, but my glasses were huge 80s. Like, oh.
Just, oh, the painful 80s.
Yes. Oh, I had those. But I couldn't see. So I totally get that. And like Philip, I didn't tell people at first. I was getting headaches and stuff. I didn't tell people. Also, when he started wearing the glasses, I was like, at first I was like, well, yeah, when I wear regular glasses, I have like kind of a nausea and I guess.
Well, yeah, because your brain is catching up with your vision and sending mixed messages.
But glaucoma for a kid, I didn't realize the kid.
Glaucoma.
I didn't realize kids could get it. I mean, I used to be a nurse, but I didn't realize kids could get it. I know anybody can get it, but
juvenile glaucoma.
Yeah. So
I always hear, sorry, not to cut you off.
Go ahead, please.
I always hear adults having this condition.
Yeah.
And you rarely see it with kids.
Rarely ever. So, but it can't happen, obviously, they explained his eyes watering. So we got a little lesson in health. I thought it was kind of cool. We got the lesson.
I did like the moment how Carson, is going through all the vision trials and tests and stuff. And then it seems like, he just needs glasses. We all do. But then it got more serious. Like, he could lose his vision. He's only like 8 years old.
I know. I can't lose your vision.
The mere fact of thinking of a child going blind, because even back then with their medicine and just surgery operations and procedures, they're not as great as medicine it is today. So a lot of kids could probably did go blind back then.
Christine Fosnight said, I can relate, James. I had pink cat eye glasses in the third grade. You are aging yourself. I'm just telling you that right now, like me. We're aging ourselves. Yes.
Well, I have contacts too to help with that.
Well, but, see, I didn't have contacts when I first
Everyone knew when I got glasses because I was one of the first people in my classes to get it.
Oh, really?
So it was so painfully obvious. I'm like, yes, you guys, I have. But not to like seem like digression, but were you teased by the kids? Because we had Robert and Cody teasing Phil.
Yes.
Did you ever have a hard time?
Yeah, I said, I got teased a little bit when I first got my glasses because they were hideous, but they were part of the time. But yeah, I got teased a little. I was called four eyes and things like that for a little bit. I think I was never.
I embraced the four eyes.
When I got to high school, I didn't care. But I mean, when I was in junior high school, we called it junior high school back then, not middle school back then. There was a little bit of teasing, but I wasn't bullied about them or anything. But just there was just teasing because I had extra glasses on, and you're not playing basketball anymore. James, because you still can't shoot, you still got four eyes, you can't see all those kind of things. So I'm gonna laugh about it now. It's just guys ribbing, just ribbing me and everything. But yeah, it's a little tough. And so that was very realistic, having because Javen and Carter Ryan are so good, they're so good at their characters. So to see them just do the whole thing, like that's what boys would do, man. So that's what they would do.
No, and not just boys, girls did it too.
Yeah, I did too.
I had to speak for myself too, because when I got glasses, I got teased a lot, but they always teased me because my glasses were always dirty.
Oh, what
like, my basketball coach literally called them the Sahara Desert. Every time we did a basketball game, he always gave me, a hard time for having dirty glasses. So that's when I switched over to contacts because my glasses got destroyed so many times.
Wow.
My parents got tired of buying glasses for me. They're like, Marissa, you're getting contacts.
That's so funny.
Yeah. But I get it.
Yeah.
You know, having bad vision, being a kid, being in an awkward stage in your life, and other children are mean and terrible. It's so relatable. It still happens today.
It does. It does.
It's still very relevant.
Yes, it does. My granddaughter wears glasses, so there you go. We had the tradition.
I mean, we all do.
Yes, I know at this point, right? At this point,
we all do.
But I agree with Janet. Isaac, I hope I'm saying it incorrectly. It was kind of fun seeing the kids apologize, make up, see them off.
Yeah, that was so sweet.
That was very nice. They all hugged. That was very nice. They hugged. And I mean, it's like, you know, that's what kids do. Kids make fun of each other sometimes, and then they make up. They fight sometimes, and they make up. That's just what kids do. I mean, it's...
Well, glasses do look funny.
Right. They are funny.
We know that.
We had a little opal. It was cute.
It doesn't diminish who you are as a person or your character.
This is a great therapy session for glassware.
It's very tough,
you guys. Seriously, wearing glasses is not an easy thing.
I had to update my prescription last year.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm like, my vision's getting worse. It's just an ongoing issue for us. That I have to deal with it for the rest of our lives.
Rest of our lives.
Congratulations, we are Class D on our license.
That's right. I'm actually getting new passport photos, and I had to get a doctor's note to say I have to wear glasses.
There you go. You have to wear glasses.
Yes, I agree. I love the way
Elizabeth
handled it.
So myopic vision, I feel you.
Yes. And Elizabeth did handle it very well.
She was so sweet.
I tell you, she's the best teacher. I'm like, I wish she was my teacher. I see it every week.
Even the moments when Phil was like, I didn't want anyone to be mad at me. I was like, how could we be mad at you for feeling
bad? She's having to play the surrogate mother to him, though, because dad's away working.
And she's the one taking him to the doctor twice.
Yes.
Twice. I mean, because she's just a good person.
Right, right.
But glaucoma, I hope it'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
I have faith, and they're not going to do any harm to Philip. I mean, they did harm to Cody last year,
but
any storyline that could go worse with children, you're not going to go that way.
No, not on this show. I actually almost think this was more of an ushering of Pastor Frank leaving.
Yeah.
Let's give him a reason that's...
Oh, and bringing another person to
the
hospital.
Yeah, yeah.
This is his journey in life now. This is now his path. He's helping kids.
Yes.
So I think
it was more of that, I think, than him going blind, so that's good.
And it's just very convenient that they both had to leave at the same time.
Yes, right. I know.
I mean, I'm just sad that Frank is gone. But that does leave the open, you know, potential for him to come back.
Yeah, it does. No,
it leaves the door open for him to come back.
Totally leaves him to come back. And somebody goes to need a haircut. Did you guys like his hair like that? It was a little longish.
He's always had longish
hair. That's why I thought he had longish hair, didn't he? I thought he did, didn't he? I thought he did.
I don't mind the long hair. It seems very kempt.
Yes, it was fine. It wasn't disheveled or anything.
Whatever.
Yeah, I love it.
Long hair is fun to play with. Whatever. I can speak because I have long
hair. You have long hair.
All right, so let's get into the married couples. We had the fun relationship people, and now we're getting into the married couples. But before we actually do that, let's shout out some of our hearties, shall we?
Chickens! I just love saying your name. Everybody was in here going, Chickens is here!
3 weeks in a row. Hello, Chickens.
I love Chickens. Royal Masterpiece, Christine Fosnight, Maya Ruffin, Lee Beth, Sharon Stark, Golden Dog 7, Debbie Welch, Janet Isaac, let's see, Mauricia Carr, Jessica Bender. We got like 88 people in here. Christine Frodenberg. Hope Moorhead. Hey, Hope. I love the first name.
Yeah, you do love Hope.
Yeah, I do love Hope. Linda Brown. Let's see. And Jordan Blackstone's in here.
Hi, Jordan.
Jessica Bennett. Stacey Matthews. I love seeing these ladies' names. Freddie Bates.
Kenzie Morris.
Jackie Bush. So we have people in here.
Yes. Hello, Hardys.
Hello, everybody.
Thanks, always, for tuning in. And speaking of tuning in, also on iTunes, you guys, you can rate and comment on iTunes.
Yes, you can.
You know what's the fun thing about iTunes? If you go to iTunes, literally the iTunes store, type in Man Calls the Heart, our show comes up first. Before the actual episode.
Yes, it does.
So go check it out, When Calls the Heart, After Buzz TV. Rate, comment, subscribe. Rate with 5 stars. There's no other stars other than 5.
No, not at all.
Leave a nice comment and we'll read them.
Yeah.
Such as now.
Right now. Okay, so we got some great comments. I'll read these really quick. Royal Masterpiece. So good to hear from you, of course. You're in the chat room. So looking for this wonderful show. Love James, Marissa, Maria. It's a wonderful place where you could welcome to express and share your thoughts. I love hearing what the hosts have to say as well. Now, I hope I say this correctly. BHIC 6.
Yes.
I wish I had found this podcast before going through 4 seasons at lightning speed. We go down. There we go. Lightning speed. This is absolutely one of my favorite shows, and I love listening to the podcast. None of my friends watch it, so I enjoy the podcast discussions and the fact that the hosts love the show as much as I do.
Uh-uh.
Upbeat and positive. Let's see, am I missing?
Here, I'll read another one. Aaron Allen underscore TN says, a must listen for two hearties. Hello from Nashville. She was waiting for our channel to be separate again. Yes, don't worry. We did separate it, so I'm glad it's super easy to find for you guys. She says, I've listened to your show for a while and look forward to it after each episode. I enjoy your camaraderie and easy conversation. The show has a very relaxed feel, and we are just friends sitting around and chatting.
Yeah. Yes.
James and I are friends, and we're chatting to all you guys.
Actually, we are, yeah.
And she especially likes when we have guests, and we're always very positive.
Yes.
And she always goes away feeling happy with new insights. Yeah.
And then good. I'm glad. We're here. We're a safe space. We love the show. We're hoping that you guys love the show too, that you want to talk with us. And here we, you know, you have your opinions, and we have ours, and
here we are.
But we all love the show. That's the meeting every Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah, so just keep rating, keep commenting, keep leaving reviews and stuff on iTunes, because everyone's trained in Facebook and iTunes, and we got to train people in iTunes.
Yes, and Twitter, I want to give a shout out to Mary Jo Vincent, who did give us a great comment under the YouTube. I thought I brought it with me, but I don't have it. I'll bring it next week. I thought I had it with me. But she wrote a nice thing about you and I and how we produce the show, she actually said.
I love Mary Jo. We actually traveled both times to Vancouver on the same plane for HFR 2 and HFR 3. So I've spent quality times with Mary Jo. Yes, I love Mary Jo. You too.
Yes,
amazing.
So you just want to give a shout out to her, but I had it about where it is now. I thought I'd brought it with me.
Thank you, Hardys. You're fantastic.
Yes, you are.
Let's get into Lee and Rosemary.
Aww. Very relatable.
Is it loveless? Has the relationship gone loveless?
It's very relatable. I mean, that's the thing. You get married, so you have all this. In the beginning, it's just all roses and rainbows, and she's watching Jack and Elizabeth because they're in the newlywed stage. Yeah. And she's, which is natural, the newlywed stage.
The honeymoon's so over.
Right. For her and Lee, it's now just the nitty gritty. It's just everyday life. And she's larger than life anyway.
She is.
So I thought it was kind of fun. They had to kind of rediscover. Lee is smart. Lee's a smart guy. But I had to laugh.
He's smart. He's kind of oblivious.
That's man. We're all oblivious. We're oblivious.
But your thoughts of Rosemary trying to do all these nice romantic gestures and at least spilling soup all over her love letters.
Why didn't that at first when he wasn't listening to her? That to me, that scene is such a realistic scene. I've been caught doing that too sometimes when someone's talking to me. He's reading the paper. And she's just kind of ramble on sometimes about things, you know, rapid speed. But when she mentioned those pants, I thought, nice inside joke. The plaid pants, no, he's too late. He was like, no. So Lee's plaid pants, you know, we love you out there. But that was so funny. That was kind of a funny inside thing. He's like, you can get rid of the other, but not the plaid pants. I thought that's his signature. But it was very, it seemed like a really realistic, just kind of, their relationship is, they're not really, they're still new to me, but I guess in that time period, they're not new anymore, I guess, right?
If you think about it, they got married.
A year ago, right?
Like season 3.
Yeah, so I guess they're not really new anymore. It just seems, but I know that Jack and Elizabeth are so new, I think it would make you re-examine your relationship a little bit. Like, well, where's my romance and where's my love? And that soup, I got to tell you something, because I'm on a special diet right now. That soup and sandwich looks so good. Did it look good?
No.
No, because I love tomato soup. I love tomato soup.
I don't like tomatoes.
Oh, you don't? Oh, so you don't like tomatoes. That's right.
We've had this conversation.
We have. That's
that
right.
That is not fit for our show.
No,
right
we, yeah, no, we're not. But,
I know. I'm weird. I don't like tomatoes. You can't have watermelon. I can't have tomatoes.
That's true. But it's tomato fine. Soup, like on a rainy day for me, and a grilled cheese sandwich. Oh, it's so good. But that soup looks so good, and I'm also hungry.
And then he spills it.
I know that he spilled it. It's like, oh, she had wrote this love note, and it just... It was
and sapped it up with the love note.
I know.
Oh man.
So I
did love the moment when she's sitting on the couch. As sad as it was, when she's like, "Yes, When did it go cold?
Yes.
It's terrible when things go cold.
I love that double speak. It was a double thing going on. I love that.
Double meaning.
Yeah, double meaning.
How did it get ice cold?
Yes.
Yes, how? Yes. Oh, no, like, it was just done so effortlessly.
I agree.
It was funny.
Yes.
But yet still endearing at the same time. But, I mean, it took him a minute, but Lee finally realized, like, I know you're blue. I got you tickets to Pirates of Penzance.
I thought that I saw Pirates of Penzance when I was a teenager.
Same here.
Oh, you did? I'm going to say it again. So I've seen it. But it was great. The way they did it, I was like, oh, I got to do this. Because that's very her. She likes the theater.
She loves Broadway.
Likes Broadway. It totally made sense. I was in.
The original touring company of Pirates of Penzance. I was like, oh, that had to be amazing.
Yes. So I really liked that. That was a very, that means he does know his wife.
Yes.
He does. I mean, he's a man. We're men. We don't think of that stuff automatically like that.
It takes men a minute to realize there's something wrong with the woman.
Yes. Well, cause a lot of times
eventually they get there.
Well, yeah, because a lot of times we're really busy with the work and other things, and we're not really, we got you already. So that takes, you have to be reminded to keep you.
To keep you.
Because men are about the chase. So we have to be, once we get you, the way we got you already, we got to remember that once we have you, we have to cherish you at the same time.
Boom.
There you go. Good night, everybody.
And moving on to Jack and Elizabeth, the newlywed. Yes. First of all, Jack in a robe.
I know. That was so funny.
I love this so much.
I know we have the picture up there, but it's so crazy.
Jack in a robe.
I was like, oh, that's an interesting look for him. I'm like, I guess you would be in a robe. Like,
good morning, Mrs. Thornton. Good morning, Mr. Thornton.
That's right.
I did love that. But, you know, even him and his romantic gestures, he's such a romantic guy. Shoot, where are they?
Yeah, he is.
Burnt breakfast, flower petals everywhere.
Yes.
You know, the whole wedding.
The breakfast was so funny. When they showed the plate, she was like, I won't be eating this.
It's good karma in a way because he always gave her a hard time her shepherd's pie.
Shepherd's pie,
which has, I'd like to think, improved over the years.
We hope so, right?
But now it's coming full circle. It's like, hey, Jack, you're not the best cook either.
I love that they can joke with each other about it. That was the cute part, is that they were joking around. And because, you know, I really feel like they're friends also in addition to being in love.
Yeah, well, I always hear when people are getting married or, like, betrothed or who are married and celebrating anniversaries, like, I married my best friend.
I feel like they did. We can joke around and no one's taking it too seriously and the food's not that good and she's like, well, I'll cook tomorrow. You know, like
I'll teach you to dinner.
Yes, it was just very nice. It was like you could joke around. They both, because the way they both laughed after that, it was a fun laugh. It was like a fun laugh between them. It was cute.
It was
really cute.
And even Elizabeth's romantic gesture let's recreate a first date.
That was very nice. I didn't see that coming. I was like, that's very interesting. And the kids were all sitting there ready to be like servers and stuff.
They're dancing.
But then,
of course, with emotional upheavals that the show does so well.
Yes.
Jack might lose his land. Your thoughts?
I was like, don't let him lose his land. Because, I mean, but it's very, again, realistic.
Mm-hmm.
Because he outlined everything. That's why he was able to give him the loan. And yeah, even though he's paying it, the bank can opt in. I mean, all this stuff. So it's a demand loan. So it's a very interesting. This whole bank thing is really affecting everything, which it should. That's the kind of point. But I think it was just, I'm glad that I loved how Elizabeth was very much like, what are you doing? Wait, she was like right next to Jack.
Yeah, she was the first one talking.
She was right next to there, and she was not going to let this happen either. She's like,
it's none of your business.
Right, exactly.
She was like, not putting up with it.
If they had snaps back then, she would have been snapping.
She would have been like,
excuse me.
Totally.
She's like, excuse me, with her man. So
this is our land.
Exactly.
Why do you need the value to it?
Yeah, I know. She did speak first. That's funny. She did say that.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they were galloping up to that point, it was like they were getting there.
They were on the defense.
They were getting there.
Get Jack's land back.
Yeah, they were. So that's so funny you said that. They were. And but I know that he's
Jenkins.
I know Jenkins is trying to do, I guess, the best he can. I guess I'm trying to think. He's not really a bad guy, is he? Just he's in a bad position, or is he a bad guy?
I don't know. He has bad tendencies. Like, he doesn't really think about people's feelings first.
No.
When we saw the town the first time, when the town was going under, he hid in his in his office when the town is storming his office. So like he's cowardly. He has a lot of cowardly moments. He doesn't want to face people. And he's willing to throw everyone who like if it helps him like under the bus as well.
Yeah.
Because when Abigail went up to him.
Oh, yes.
And she's like, oh, my goodness, keep up the payments and blah, blah, blah. But, like, what she says, there's what's legal and what's right, and that's not right. woman. Must be honorable and not underhanded. And I love the moment when she was, like standing up to him. Like,
she was stepping to him, as we say.
That was, like,
she was stepping
an authoritative
to him. Demand. It was. No, she, like, was. She was being Miss Mayor.
Go away, Jenkins.
She'd be Miss Mayor. Mm-hmm. And he backed down, didn't he?
Oh, so down.
Yes, he did.
Did love that moment.
Me too.
Like, yeah, Abigail, that's why you're mayor. Because she will be the person and the voice for people when they can't be.
Yes.
And she did.
She did.
She did it. And like Jack and Elizabeth didn't ask her to.
No, they didn't.
It was just like simple conversation between two friends that Elizabeth dropped that this was an issue. She's like, no, I'm going to do something about it. So good.
It was
love
good.
Abigail.
It was. And of course, when things were reversed, you used to make your payments.
Make your payments.
Jack and Elizabeth ran over and said, I knew it was her. Yes. And it's Abigail, and again, he gave her a hug. Again, the family comes together. The village comes together.
The village does come together.
I love how you said our land. That's right, our land.
It's like, there were so many good quotes in this episode that, like, honestly, I just put them on a poster.
Yes.
And there's my quote of the day. And just the way that Abigail went about things, got things fixed. And we know even Jack was very determined to keep this land, his house, so determined not to even go to Elizabeth's father for the money.
Oh, he said, oh, he's not going to do that.
Such pride.
Yes. Maya Ruffin says, he's not a bad guy. He's just the epitome of it's not personal, it's business. So I kind of feel that way, too.
And he's also, Jenkins is a person who's stuck between a rock and a hard place right now.
Yeah.
So I get that. But he's also seems like a person who's willing to just do whatever is a quick fix. Without the expense of people's, emotions or the actions of how it can actually affect them.
Right. Chickens. Abigail in your faith. That's right. She was in there. It was in there. She worked it out.
Faith wasn't in this episode.
She wasn't. Just I know.
Thinking of it.
Oh, yeah. Thinking about people we show. We didn't have her.
Yeah. But, I mean, Andrea was great last week, too.
Yes, she was.
So
yes.
We got a lot of faith last week.
Yeah.
Your thoughts of Jack's new assignment in Fort Clay.
I got a little nervous at first. I was like, so now I know people were talking in the chat room. Is he out the rest of the season? Is he out for a couple of episodes? I mean, we have, what, 4 episodes left? So I don't know. Yeah. But I like
already.
That. I know. It's like, it's going so fast. I love that she was like, I'll come with you. At first she was worried at first. She's like, wait a minute, I thought we were done. And he says, it's not an assignment that's like in the war. It's just training. And so it's a high profile. I get it. A man who wants, who wants to up his career for his family and for himself. I get that part. So a lot of men can relate to that. But I think I was getting a little nervous. Like, oh no. Is he going like, okay, come with me too. So I was like, she'll probably come back by herself possibly. But I think it would be nicer to go there. And
right. I had a prediction about that. That's also in my predictions, too. But I did predict that he'd be called away for duty for something.
I think he did.
And in a sense, he did. He did get called.
And
I wasn't expecting so soon.
Me neither. I thought maybe a few episodes down the line, then that would be
I was expecting like finale-ish.
Again, production notes. We're like, sometimes like we're talking about soon. But yeah, I know all the fans are like, oh no. I can almost hear everybody go, oh no, at the same time.
But it's we say, oh no, because they literally just got married last week.
I know, right.
Or like in their time 2 days ago.
But it's his job. He's a Mountie.
I know.
His job is he's a Mountie. He doesn't stay. I mean, he has to go off.
He has to go. He has to go where duty calls him.
Yep, exactly.
But they made the best out of it. It's kind of like a blessing in disguise for them. So instead of going to Chicago, which is a great place.
Yes.
I mean, guys, they should still go to Chicago when they can. They decided that Fort Clay will now be their honeymoon. And Elizabeth's going with him.
That's good. So why not? That's a good compromise.
Who's going to be the teacher? Maybe Florence. She tends to fill in here and there.
Well, that's fine, but she's, like, they should have
her kids for two.
They
two
should
months?
Have a honeymoon.
Yeah, they should.
They should. That's life for a Mountie, exactly. Have to go with you.
Well, we've read it a lot. We've read the whole series now. Well, the original series,
yeah.
And we always see the Monty going away.
Yeah, they just do. It's their life. That's their life. They're here to protect, to serve.
Like, there was times when the whole book was just Elizabeth.
That's true. That's actually very true.
And maybe like two chapters of Wynn.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That was it.
Yeah.
So it's true to just the principles of always getting a sign going away.
And that is the life
but eventually coming back.
That's the life of someone who's with somebody in the military. I mean, I'm sure our military folks can relate to that. We'll tell you why.
Until they decide to leave.
Right, until they decide to retire and leave.
Right, right. But, oh, man. Have we covered it? Anything else about this episode?
I think we got it. Like I said, I cried when Rosemary got the letter. So that would be my favorite moment, I guess, of the whole show.
I cried when Frank left.
And that's another good moment, too.
It's very upsetting.
That's another good moment.
Because Abigail was upset, and so was I. Anytime what Abigail's feeling, that's what I'm feeling. So, yeah, Frank is gone.
So he's gone. Darn. Sorry, guys. Mark Humphrey's on the show.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you'll see him on Hallmark somewhere, I'm sure, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he does movies. He does movies there.
Yeah, yeah. Eventually, he's going to come back.
Yeah, I mean,
we love his character.
Yeah, we do.
All right, so let's get to some news, shall we?
AfterBuzz TV News.
A couple of fun things. Kevin Smith
appeared
on Home and Family this past week.
Yes.
It was good. Yeah, he was great. Unfortunately, he couldn't go. But he had a really good interview, and he talked about acting with Pascal.
Oh,
and just their fun banter that they have on set and just their fun chemistry, because he said that how they play and act with each other. It started off as like a friendly competition. It's like actors, you know, competing with other actors. Like, I'm the better actor, X, Y, and Z. So there were moments when they're filming, and when filming, like when they said a line, he would say something funny and to lighten the mood. And then just kind of naturally built this back and forth teasing and playfulness with each other. And then it just, you know, translates to the characters and to them off screen. And, you know, and just his moments, he loves acting with Pascal. And we love their relationship, too.
Yeah, we do. They're so good together on the show and great people. And you know how much I love my Pascal. So.
I know you do.
Yes, I do.
And also, he talked about his cooking skills because he's an amazing cook. So maybe he could cook for us one day.
Yeah, oh yes, please.
Just throwing that out there. Who knows? But yeah, he also did say at HFR 3 that he's a good cook.
Okay.
So he talked about his cooking skills and where he got it and you know, being raised by his family, learning all different cooking skills.
They say Kevin was charming.
Yes, he was. Yeah, I'm sure he was.
I'm sure he was.
And then, of course, we have to say.
Oh, yeah, we have to say it.
Congratulations to Run Calls the Heart.
Season 6.
Season 6, you guys. Hearties, we did it. A round of applause.
I know. That's amazing. I mean, this is great. The show is going on. I mean, there might be a season 10. I mean, I'm almost seeing that this could actually happen.
I mean, it could.
With season 6? There were 10 episodes a season or whatever.
We were already on 3. And now we're going on 6.
I know. That's amazing. So congratulations. Calls the Heart, Hardee's, Hallmark Channel, smart decision. The show is so good. And people are really loving it. And
really
I have friends who don't even know the show. They know about the Hardee's.
The Hardee's are forced not to be recognized.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. And yes. We do love speaking out as well. So
yes.
Congratulations. We're getting a season 6. It was so early in their promotions. Earlier than what we've expected. They always wait to the end of the season.
Yeah, they do. So
to the finale where we're getting sick. Well, but I think the wedding episode did so well. We're like,
It's
pretty blatantly obvious we're going to get another season.
And I think, I will say this, I don't know this for a fact, but I think because of the social media presence that you Hardee's have started and are growing, it really is impressing them.
Yeah.
Okay. But I don't know if Brian Byrne is impressing all that, but I mean, Hallmark Channel, I'm sure I think they're impressed too.
Yeah.
By seeing this. This is from scratch. This is all from scratch.
You know, the wedding episode had like 210,000 tweets. We beat Walking Dead.
You did.
So take that, zombies.
Can I watch both shows? But yes, I love me someone called Sorry, and I'm always rooting for that first. So, but
yes,
it's just,
yes. So we're going to get into our fun devotions segment.
Yeah, you Hardee's loved it.
Yeah,
Leslie, when we do these. So
Hardee's do like that. So we're just going to talk about maybe one or two chapters of the Brian Bird and Michelle Cox's When God Calls the Heart, our fun devotion segment. James, do you want to start us off?
Yes. So we're going through these. There was chapter devotionals 8, 9, 13, and 14 really stuck out for me.
Okay.
Quickly, just 8 was You're More Than Enough, which I guess talks about, you know, how you when you have what it takes to push through, have faith. 9 is Clear as Mud, which I like that one, that title. God sometimes shows you the way, and it's clear. 13 was A Cure for Everything, Wash Away Worry Through Prayer. And 14 is if the lace-up boot fits, sometimes the answer is right underneath you. It's funny. All four of these kind of match together for me as one big, basically, have faith. Don't worry, pray. It tells you in the Bible not to worry anyway, because right. God will take care of it. And also, sometimes we think we're searching for something that should look a certain way, but it's right over there. It's like I said, it's right there too for you. You should be going, and God's going to try to show you over there, but you're busy looking over here going, well, it needs to look this way.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to look that way. It needs to feel this way. No, that's the way it should feel and look, and it's still going to benefit you, and you're still going to like it. But we have to kind of get, I always say, step out of your own way.
Step out of your comfort zone,
yep.
Which is chapter 17. That's actually chapter 16, is getting out of your comfort zone. But chapters 16 and 17 really spoke to me well. We got up to chapter
17. I did 17.
You got up to 17, I got up to 20. But 16 and 17, it's the whole idea of stepping out of your comfort zone,
mm-hmm.
and like what God does to us. So it's like, well, why do you think God sometimes asks you to get out of your comfort zone? Is to also explore things about yourself that you didn't know were out there, mm-hmm. or you didn't know what you're capable of. And I get that. I think a lot of people can relate to. Sometimes we thrive the best when we're pushed out of our comfort zone, because mm-hmm. we're so busy trying to swim and to keep afloat, mm-hmm. that you, at the end, when you do survive, you realize, oh, hey, I went through that.
Right.
You know, you had that moment of, I got out of my comfort zone and I beat it and I came out on top.
Yes. I just think, you know, if you believe that God's going to guide you, then you shouldn't be worried. You stay in your lane, do what you're doing, and you'll trust that the things that are good for you and that are good for you professionally, personally, will enter in your plan, and you'll be wide awake to know that they're for you.
Yes.
That he's gonna present stuff to you, and you have to be wide awake enough to know that this is for you to receive it. And I've learned that lesson just the last 10 years of starting my life over. So I mean, I've learned to worry less, because just worrying is an emotion that doesn't do anything for you. It's not positive. It's just, as long as you acknowledge it, that there's some fear,
mm-hmm.
Of the unknown, which
the
we all were
of the
all,
unknown, which of the we unknown, talked about last time.
About last time, but just you'll just pray like Sharon Stark said, pray, hope, and don't worry. Yep. I like that, Sharon Stark.
Let go and let God. And also, just for 17 to wrap this up, is that also one of the questions, describe a time when you lost patience and try to open a door that appeared to be shut. And like, and I think a lot of people can also relate to this too.
I've done that.
When you go out and do something, or like, say for the entertainment world, you go out for an audition and lose your patience because you're trying to get answers back. Yeah, it's not always going to be that way. You know,
I had that. I had that recently, and so I'm going to tell you. And now that opportunity didn't happen, something better did come along that was more suited for me. But I thought I wanted that thing so bad, and I was upset for them taking so long. And yes, James, just let it go. I had to get my own way.
Right, and sometimes when like as much as you want it, you can't force it, because that's also just God's way and the universe's way of saying. No, it's their way of saying no.
Yes,
I agree. Something else will come of it. So, like, just keep patient, because something better will come your way.
Yes, so definitely.
Even though you wanted it and it's not coming, just wait.
Yeah.
Keep your patience.
I agree.
All right. So that brings us to predictions.
We'll do some quick predictions.
Quick predictions before we go.
And now, like TV predictions.
All right. I actually have
you go,
a few
you go first. Yes, you go first.
Okay, so I think there's actually going to be a time jump of 2 months.
Okay. Yeah,
next week, Jack and Elizabeth will actually come back. We're not. I don't think we're actually really see Fort Clay. We might see it for a minute, or they might not just show us at all.
Yeah,
they'll just come back to Hope Valley.
Okay.
And the time in just the narrative will jump for 2 months with nothing really being missed. Like, we haven't seen it. It's just like, okay, yeah, the town is still thriving on its own. It's just 2 months later. I think that might happen. AJ Foster returns.
Oh, yes. I'm excited.
She's going to stir up something with Bill.
Yes, she is. I'm excited.
And this could be an end of the season long prediction because we saw in this that Jack got called.
Yes.
I still think he's going to get called, but I think now that they're married, I think Jack is going to be reassigned. That could be the season finale.
Okay.
Jack gets reassigned to another post location, and now because he's married, Elizabeth would have to go with him. So the whole season end drama is they're both leaving the town.
I like that. I mean, I don't like that, but I mean, I like
gasp.
That could be interesting. That could be very interesting.
That, like, I don't want that, obviously.
No, obviously not.
But how amazing and how dramatic of a storyline would that be?
Maya was like, I need Marissa to predict that Jack will come back so that it will happen. Yeah, her predictions are, like, really right on. I don't have any pictures right now because, I mean, hers are very right on. I'm going with yours.
So that's my prediction.
Yes.
Like, I think, Jack is definitely coming back.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. But it's the last four episodes, too, which last season he left. And we didn't see him for the last four episodes. And now that we have four episodes left of this season, it's very up in the air. I'd like to think that he is actually coming back. But again, at the end of the season, I think he'll be reassigned and Elizabeth will have to go with him because they're married.
There you go.
Because that's actually very true to the books. But
don't say to the books. It is very much.
See, but that's a great dramatic story.
And we'll leave it at that. I have no good predictions of that. That's good.
I think the town would be lost without these two.
I know. Oh my God.
But. Yeah, I would be for drama in that way.
Yes.
All right, so no other predictions?
No, I'll go with yours. You dropped the mic on that one, so we'll leave that
Boom.
Alone.
All right, thank you, Hardys, for always tuning in. In the meantime, James, where can everyone keep following?
So, Mitten Hardys, I'll see you guys April 14th. I will be in Frankenmuth, as I'm saying, I couldn't pronounce it. I will be there. I hope to see all you there. Also, if you're in LA, folks, LA peeps, or Southern California Hardys, I am running some workshops. You want to get organized, meet me, have some fun. I'm giving away some gifts. I have one on April 7th.
People are like, no, stop.
They see it there. April 7th, April 28th, I'm running my first two workshops. They're for a couple hours here in L.A. Go to my website, thesuperorganizeruniverse.com, for details. You can meet me and we can talk and I can give you some wisdom on getting your life organized. But otherwise, you can find me at James Law Jr., where all James Law Jr.'s are sold, at James Law Jr.
There you go. Yes. You can follow me everywhere at Serafini TV. You can follow all of us here, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, iTunes, YouTube, all that fun stuff at AfterBuzz TV. Keep rating, keep commenting, keep subscribing, keep watching When Calls the Heart, and we will see you next time, Hardys.
Bye!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later, Hardys.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.